Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to You're Important to Sarah. And what a beautiful day it is. And it's August 1st. And I've been assured by Michelle, our numerologist here, that it's going to be a month of prosperity. So all those things that you have been waiting for, maybe this is the month of abundance for you. We can all do that. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Lakshmi Evelyn Forbes on her soul adventures journey. She will give away a couple of books to callers. So, folks, get out your pen and paper and write down these numbers. You may call in, and we'll be taking calls around the last 10 minutes of the show. One number to call in is 1-877-296-0345. Another number, if you can't get through, is 1-917-889-3818. We will be taking calls in the last 10 minutes, so get into line to receive a free book. And believe me, I've read this book, and you are going to want to know. You're really going to want to read this. It's absolutely exciting. So, Lakshmi Evelyn Forbes stemmed from Rhodesia, which is now known as Zimbabwe. She came to America to pursue her dream, little knowing what dreams were to come. Following a lifelong dream of hosting a TV show called Move Up, she interviewed, and I know I'm going to get this name wrong, Siri Sawamji, a musical guru from India. She listened to his music and was sent out into orbit. She was driven by the music, a music that had healing qualities. This was the beginning of her journey, one that would change her life completely. I have found along the way that teachers of this new awakening were rebellious as children, very, very different to their parents. And I found that because their parents were of different color personalities, the true perspectives, and were more earthbound to us, it rather felt like they were from a different planet. And that is why as spiritual teachers, sometimes we have a feeling of disconnect from the people that we love. It's just that they don't get us. It's because we have to find a different pathway. We are part of the soul teachers, and so therefore we had to get out there and follow the path to that soul teaching. On her journey in discovering her soul purpose, Lakshmi discovered that she had attachment issues. And I particularly wanted to bring this up today because we all do. One of the hardest things that we have is in letting go of what does not serve us. She held on to these issues tight, not just in things, but on things that happened to her. And even at one point, got a little attached to Siri Samji herself. And often we call that kind of transference. I like her statement that suffering is an attitude. It's a choice. You can choose to change, and you can choose not to suffer. I will talk today with Lakshmi on the attachment issues and on the subjects of living in our earth bodysuits, waiting to extend to a higher realm. What is this body of ours but a housing for our soul, our heart, and our spirit? It's the container that holds everything together and that allows us to do many things in order to pursue of that wholeness. We will also cover the empowerment and the invigorating sounds of music and how it can change our directions, how it can change the vibrations within us, healing us, not just heart, mind, body, and soul, but healing and bringing together the world in unison. So, without further ado, namaste to you, Lakshmi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you very much. Greetings from Florida.
Wonderful Florida. Are you having tornadoes or whatever you have at this time of year? Or is it nice weather over there?
No matter what's going on the outside, I'm peaceful on the inside, so it really doesn't matter.
That's what everybody seeks for in life, isn't it? So I have no idea where you want to start because I have thrown, you know, attachment at you, bodies at you, music at you. So you go and take it and you tell us what do you want to start with?
Well, the thing is, Sarah, the reason I wrote this book is because I felt like the journey I had been on is really every soul's journey. It wasn't just my journey. It's just that some people take a real beating before they, you know, make sense of things. And I was one of those people. You know, I like to say I'm a graduate from the School of Hard Knocks because I used to take my knocks. And the thing is, you know, we're absolutely awesome, powerful beings, but we just don't realize it because we get trapped in. Have you ever played like Monopoly? Have you ever played that game and watched people get so trapped in that game that they forget it's supposed to be a fun game? Well,
it actually kind of shows you the character of a person a great deal, actually.
But the thing is, I mean, that's what happened to me. I came into this spiritual mind bio body suit and forgot that I was here to have fun, that I was here to help create and manifest and take thought beyond where it had ever gone before. And I got caught up on this game of life. And I, you know how at age two, a child starts to realize that he or she is separate from her parents. Well, I think what happened is I didn't just realize that I was separate from my mom and dad, but I started to believe that I was separate from God. And as separate from God, that made me scared. And so then I started to cling to things, try to cling to my family. As you'll see in the book there, I went through a lot of stuff. And it was all about me being trying to recognize who I was by clinging to people, places, and things. And evidently, I signed up a contract saying, hey, if I do that, pull the rug out from underneath my feet, because every time I cling to something, yahoo, there I go again. The rug was pulled out from underneath my feet. But everybody...
It is a human nature, too, isn't it? It's a human nature for us to attach, because, you know, we're always using that attachment in many ways as a life raft.
Exactly, because we're thinking we're separate. We're thinking we're alone. And in our trying to get reconnected, we're grasping at people, places, and things, which are all really short-term illusions. And if we cling too tightly, eventually they have to go because they're blocking our growth.
I'm going to take a caller right now because we've actually got somebody in line and it looks like there might be a few after her as well. So I'm going to take Michelle online.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Well, we're doing fine. Can you speak up a wee bit?
Yeah, let me see if I can turn my phone up. Can you hear me any better now?
Yes, that's
I
better.
Can.
How do you
think?
What question do you have for Lexmi?
I was actually just calling in to listen to the show. This is the first time I've listened to your program. But let me think of one. I've kind of been under a lot of stress lately. We've got our house and our land up for sale. And it's just been kind of stressful. And I've just been kind of out of sorts here lately, just not feeling like myself. I don't know, not really a question. Is there just anything you could tell me that might help me out with that?
Michelle, let me ask you something. Can I ask you a question? When you're feeling stressed, does that feel good or does that feel yucko?
Like yucko, definitely.
Okay. And so what coping skill do you use for when you're feeling yucko to relieve your stress? You know, you don't have to reveal anything that is not kosher on the radio, but do you have any particular coping skills to help you change your energy from stress to success?
Yeah, like certain breathing techniques or even prayer. I never really thought about it. I do, like
okay.
When I feel stressed out sometimes, I do use a breathing technique to kind of, you know, relax. But other than that, in prayer, not really.
Okay, I have a little tool to share with you that I use when I'm concerned. Because when we're stressed, it's usually because we're trying to make something happen or we're afraid that something is going to happen and so we're trying to resist the pain or grasp the pleasure. So what technique I use is I, first of all, look at what it is I'm afraid of. Because if you don't look at what's stressing you and what you're afraid of, that's like trying to hold ping pong balls under the water. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but they keep popping up at the most inopportune times. So what you want to do is say, okay, what is it that's stressing me? What is it that I'm afraid of? And then once you've acknowledged that, say, okay, thank you for letting me know that I'm concerned about this area. Now, what is it that I really want? How do I want this to ideally turn out? Because your mind is like a movie camera. So if you focus on a beautiful sunrise, that's what your mind will record and that's what you will attract to yourself. But if you focus on, say, a horrific thunderstorm or a volcano or something that you do not want in your life, that's what your movie camera will attract, because we're like magnetizing. We're magnetizing and attracting things to us.
Right, the law of attraction. So, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yes. You've got it. So you already know this. So what you could do is, if you want to just feel peaceful, then put on some soothing music and do some breathing practices if those work for you, and remind yourself that you are peace and everything is good, all is well. And what works for me is I like to write, obviously. So I usually write a journal of how I want everything to be, how it would feel and how good I would feel if it all turned out smoothly. And then I just hand it over. I hand it over to the universe and say, okay, here's my ideal design. I'm not going to be attached to how it comes about, but I am attached to feeling good about it. And then just
Michelle,
let go of the
Michelle, if you would like to have her book, which you will receive free today from calling in, if you've got a pen and paper, you write to info@authenticumedia.com. That's info@authenticumedia.com. And Michelle will give you, our administrator here, will give you a code to write in at. And she said also she will post the email in the chat room as well. And once you've read Lakshmi's book, The Soul Adventures, I think it will answer a great deal of your questions. Something to add to that I'll do as well. Sometimes when we're mad, and you were frustrated, it's hard for us just to go to a peaceful spot. So sometimes I would say go and put on some very loud, crazy, wonderful music and dance and sing and, you know, get everything out. You know, have a song that you can really scream out and really dance yourself into exhaustion. And then you've spent the frustration, you've spent the anger, and you're more ready now to go into that breathing and soothing music and get more into that peaceful mode. But if you are in frustration, to go straight into peace sometimes can be difficult. Go and spend that energy.
Yeah, it is a big leap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So go and spend that energy and then go and find that breathing. But remember, the universe can't give it if they can't see it. So you must constantly visualize what you do want and never feed what you don't. Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to have to continue with the show. And I
appreciate
you calling in.
Thank you.
Take care. So we've talked about kind of really where the attachment is. And, you know, I mean, there's so much to talk about, and we've got so little time here, but it's, you know, people, if you want to know how she actually got into writing The Soul Adventures and taking this journey, you really need to read this book. And you can get it from Amazon, can you? Lexi?
Yes, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's available not only in book form, but also on iBook, on ebook form. And also it's now being ready to go as an audio book, so that they will also include Sonic's music and everything like that.
So how
but
about
you
tell us about Siri, I know I'm saying his name wrong, Siri Swamiji?
It's Sri, that's
Sri?
Sri Swamiji, and that's a title like if you were talking to, say, a priest, you would say His Holiness or Your Holiness. That's basically what Sri Swamiji means.
okay,
it's,
all right.
It's,
so,
it's the Hindu version of your holiness.
Okay, all right. So how did you actually, you know, get so inspired to actually leave your TV show and get up and move and just, you know, turn your back on your life that you thought was your dream to follow this path? What was it about him do that?
Actually, what happened was I had a pretty successful business. I was a big fish in a small pond, and I had a TV show, which was a success strategy show. And I also did workshops and keynote speeches and, you know, just was having a wonderful time. And one day I was doing a meditation, and I had read somewhere the quote that Jesus said, you know, these things I do, you can do, and even greater than that. And I was thinking, well, if that's the case, if we're supposed to be evolving souls, how come I'm in the media? How come I've never seen anybody running around raising the dead and changing water into wine and things like that? So I've got to kind of put this question to God, hey, how come I've never seen anybody do that? And then later that day, I didn't get any instant answer. But later that day, I went to one of the sponsors of the TV show, and she said, hey, how would you like to interview an avatar? So I said, sure. What's an avatar? And it's not the movie, you know, not the guy with the purple face.
And again, it's not something on a video game.
So she said, well, he's a very holy man from India. And he does all the things that Jesus did, and even more than that. And it was like, dee-da, dee-da, I had just asked that question.
Right.
There was a little problem, as you'll see in the book. At the time, I really did not like Indians. So I thought, how am I going to do this? I don't even like Indians. How am I going to be unbiased and do this interview with, you know, without my biased feelings? But anyways, the universe has a great sense of humor. Anywhere that you need to grow, believe me, the universe will shine light on it and set you on your path.
Yes,
and that was how I got started with...
Right. Well, the movie has a line, but that is the Marigold Hotel at the present moment, which, you know, all these retirees going to a hotel in India and, you know, all the prejudice and everything else to overcoming to the loving. Because, you know, what we don't understand, we're in judgment of, aren't we? So, you know, sometimes, you know, we can have preferences. Yes, that's a given right. But we cannot judge other cultures or other people or other religions, because each to their own. And when it comes down to it, is really what is the vibration that is coming out of that? And if it's a peaceful and an enlightening vibration, it's not for us to dictate how everybody's going to get their message in life.
The judgment is a wonderful, wonderful tap on the shoulder from the universe saying, hey, there's a gift of insight here for you. This judgment, this negative feeling means that there's a door that's closed that you need to open and walk through. That's what judgment is all about. And you know what? Eventually, because it took me a long time to say that I was a devotee of Swamiji's, and you know, it's a long story. But eventually, what happened is I noticed that the people who followed him were so amazing. They were so, I can't describe what a
harmonic,
beautiful, they're so beautiful, so non-judgmental, so generous, that I just looked at them and said, you know what, if he can make me even one-tenth as nice as his followers, man, I'm going to have it made. I'm not there yet, by the way. Long way to go.
Well, I think sometimes kind of being born into a Western culture can be, you know, we've got a lot of undoing to do before we have a lot of embracing to do. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention is, you know, because we've got 10 minutes, let's say, because we've got a few minutes here. Two things I still want to touch on. One is the music, but the other one is really what the human body is. And, you know, it's so much emphasis, and especially in a Western society, is placed on the body and the shell itself, the importance of its look, the importance of its presentation. And where I'm a huge advocate of looking after your body and, you know, dressing it, looking the best that you can, you know, not to be offensive to anyone's eyes, and in also looking after your body, you're looking after the shell that is housing the spirit, the soul, and the true being of you. And I think that sometimes people do not know how to detach the fact that the body is the casing, but it is the soul and the spirit that defines who we are. And I think people kind of get mixed up with that, and I really like the fact that you address that in the book.
Right. It was my first conversation with Swamiji, although I didn't realize it was him, and he was telling me about you are not your bodysuit. And I sort of thought, oh, a bodysuit, that's interesting. And he then went on to say, well, you know, if you go up in a spaceship, you have to wear certain equipment in order to function in that environment. So I said, yes. So he said, and that suit might be white, it may be yellow, it may be black, but underneath the bodysuit, you would still be the same. Would that not be right? And I said, yes. And then he said, and if you were to dive at the bottom of the sea, you would wear a different kind of bodysuit. And that may be all different colors, but underneath that bodysuit, you would still be the same. So I could understand that. And then he went on to say, now, in this lifetime, you have taken on a specific bodysuit to allow you to function in this environment. And you even chose the culture you wanted to be born in and everything, even the day that you were born. You chose all of this before you entered your bodysuit. But whether you're in your bodysuit or whether you are stepping out of your bodysuit, you are still the same. Your soul is still the same. And we're really all evolving souls in that we're all still, I love the way Abraham says it, we're all extensions of God's source energy. And God's source energy is everything, everywhere, anyway. So there's no way that we can ever be separate. And I love the idea of being on a soul adventure, because basically a soul adventure implies that you are. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
And yes.
While
and actually, life isn't about a destination.
Right. It's and so the journey is learning how to function in this bodysuit, how to be God's feet on the ground, how to focus on what we want and allow and embrace what we want and release and not even look at what we don't want. You know, in Indonesia, one of the places that we lived, when you drive in Indonesia, there are very the people there are, for the most part, very gentle souls. And so they believe if they don't look at something, it just doesn't exist, which makes for interesting driving.
There isn't a car on the road coming towards me.
Yes,
a little hairy there.
But I just thought that was really interesting. And in a way, the Chinese have the same attitude in a lot of things, is if they don't acknowledge it, it doesn't exist.
Well,
and
yes, I think that's I think sometimes we actually give too much, we give too much energy to our fear. To the assumption of fear, to the assumption of judgment, and just to the assumption of everything. And I think, you know, very often we could get out of our heads and just live, you know, for me it's very much that the soul is around where the navel is. The soul never lies. It is your, you know, God's connection. It is your truth. It speaks to you. And you take it to your heart, which is your passion. And your passion then gives it to your spirit, which is your action. And then by the time it actually reaches your head, you're in knowingness. And you're not in conflict of your knowledge, because the knowledge that you've received from your soul to heart to spirit is in itself its truth. And if we learn to live that way by listening to our soul, we won't cause so much conflict that our head is inclined to do.
Right. Yeah, my current lesson is learning to not think that if it's to be, it's up to me, and I've got to run down there and be a spiritual warrior and kick down doors. I think we're moving into an era where it's more about holding the vision and attracting it and allowing it rather than going out there and,
Being the beacon. Yes. It's being the beacon and shining that light on other people in order to waken them up. And it's a wonderful thing to wake people up. It really is. And to see people come into their own realization, to embrace the whole wholeness, and to understand that we are all frequency. Everything about us is. Energy is all frequency. And the higher we raise that frequency, the higher that elevation of peace is achieved. And we will actually see the turmoils of the world slowly disappear as we raise that elevation. And we have to do it as a collective. As an individual, we have a responsibility of ourselves on our decision-making, but we have to work together as a collective to be the healers of the world. Can we touch on some music a little bit, please?
Certainly.
We've only got 4 minutes left, so give us a couple of minutes on the music.
Okay. Do you realize that music has an effect on you? Like if you're sitting in a car and somebody with really loud hip-hop music, the vibrations are making your own windows rattle and your brain rattle, it has an effect on you. Or if you're listening to symphonic music, you mentioned frequencies. What music does, it's kind of like a piano tuner when they hit the little tuning fork to tune the piano so that they can match the vibration and the frequency. That's what music does to the human body. It will calm the mind and it will balance and raise or jar your frequency. So music is a wonderful tool to help you balance or raise or calm down your vibrational frequency. It's kind of like tuning into a radio station that's soothing with soothing music or tuning into a radio station that's causing you to be stressed. So Swamiji's music is based on very ancient healing methods, and I don't fully understand it, but his music has definite healing qualities, and he's composed over 7,000 musical pieces, and there can be actually prescriptions for healing certain things. I had a friend who had breast cancer, and the whole time that she was having chemotherapy, she was listening to Swamiji's music, and she did lose her hair, but she was never sick. She didn't have the nausea or the vomiting and all the things that usually go along with chemotherapy. And it's in remission, and she swears that it was because of Swamiji's music more than the chemotherapy that healed her.
Right, and we talk about good vibrations, and you know when you've got somebody around you that's negative and they're sending off a bad vibration, it ricochets throughout your whole body and it affects your psyche. So it's very, very important that we choose to be amongst people that are living in good vibration. They don't have to be on the same frequency as you, but that vibration must be positive because it does have a shattering effect on our body, as does our attitude and our emotions, and that is something that if we learn to tune into the more peaceful side of life, we will actually find that. We're going to have to say goodbye, my darling, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And this was just absolutely wonderful, and please, people, go out and get her book. It's Soul Adventures, The Lighthearted Experience of a Soul Found, Lakshmi Evelyn Forbes. It was a fabulous read, and I know you've got many more books after that. Please keep going with that message. It's very, very important, and I thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, and God bless. You all have
you too,
wonderful, happy landings.
Thank you, my darling. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye-bye. Next week, I have Diane Shaver on the show. And actually, we're shifting a little bit. Diane actually is a sex coaching for business, and she's written a book called How Life Works. But it's really about the empowerment of a soul journey, living in your dream. She's a holistic counselor. And it's the understanding of each person is important and each person matters. So please tune in for Diane next week. We have a couple of psychics on this month, and I'm also interviewing CJ Marchese from the Angel Connection at the end of the month. So we've got exciting people for you. Tune in next week. Everybody have a wonderful week, and blessings to one and all. Goodbye, folks.